Lead us in a prayer before we dive into this passage. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word and for the chance to spend some time together thinking about it now. Father, please, would you help us to leave this service this morning more amazed by the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us, but also more committed to caring for one another. We ask this for your glory's sake. Amen. So today is Mother's Day, that day when we put some time and thought and effort into being thankful for our mums. Whether it's breakfast in bed or cards or flowers or whatever it is that people do at this time to show our gratefulness for the care and the love we receive from our mums. But it's not always happy for some. In this fallen world that's stained by sin, we know that bereavement and absent parents and painful childhoods are commonplace. There's a kind of conundrum on Mother's Day. We're grateful for what's good, but aware that things are rarely perfect. And we're thankful, but conscious for those for whom this is a painful day. And wonderfully, as we come to this morning's passage, we see two things clearly on display. We see Jesus's love, both for his mum and for John, the disciple whom he loves, but also his provision and care for us. So why don't you look down, wonderful, it's on the screen, at the short passage again. So next slide. The first thing we see is that we are loved and looked after. And I'm very, very sorry, St. Richards. I completely forgot that you normally use the ESV. So what's on the screen is the NIV. Forgive me. But let me read it out to you again. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus's mum is stood there watching her son die on the cross. You can imagine the distress she must have felt at that ghastly sight. And Jesus, in his moment of suffering, looks over at his mum and creates a new family unit by tethering Mary and John, who is the disciple Jesus loved, by tethering them together. And Mary is loved by Jesus enough that he shows concern for her during his suffering. Mary is looked after by John. With our 21st century specs on, we could easily miss the cultural significance of this. As a woman on her own, she would have been vulnerable. Now, we don't know what's happened to Joseph, only that he's not mentioned during Jesus's adult ministry. So it's presumed that he's already passed away. And that makes Mary a widow. And in that culture, widows were dependent on their sons. We know Jesus had brothers, but nevertheless, the loss of one of her sons would have made Mary more vulnerable than she was before. So this isn't mere tokenism. This is Jesus genuinely caring for and providing for his mother by entrusting her care to John. And this care that Jesus has for his mum is a little picture of the care that he has for us. As believers, we are loved by Jesus in and through that moment of his suffering for us. And as believers, we are, or we should be, looked after by one another. There's a lovely moment in Matthew's gospel when Jesus's disciples are slightly overwhelmed at the cost of following Jesus. And he says to them, next slide, in Matthew 19, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne. You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. See, the church, the people of God, are our sisters and our brothers and our fathers and our mothers. And as you look around the room of St. Richard's, or in this case, see all those tiny squares on your screen, you are not simply seeing people who happen to have a common interest, or people who are just committed to a particular system of morality. You're seeing your family. Now, the World Mission Group at All Saints, I think there's the next slide will bring it up, have been reading this book by a guy called David Platt. David Platt's a pastor and the leader of a mission agency in America. And this book is all about a trip that he took through the Himalayan mountains and the urgency of Christian mission. In this trip, he's accompanied by a local guide called Nabin. Nabin was a small, small child when his mum died. His father remarried, and his stepmum hated Nabin. He was regularly beaten by his father, and he was forced to live in the cattle shed with the yak by his stepmother. Until one day, a Christian man from the nearest city called Aaron found him. Aaron loved him. Aaron brought him to a Christian family who adopted him and provided for him. See, Nabin was loved by God, even whilst he was hated by his family. And as a result of God's love for Nabin, he was looked after by Aaron and the other Christians, the family of God. He was brought in to the family of God. One of the early church fathers, a guy called Cyprian, once said that no one can have God for his father who does not also have the church for his mother. Now, there is some truth in that, isn't there? All those things that we're grateful for when we think of our mums, the fact that we're loved and cared for, or their patience and their help, well, they should be things that we're also grateful for when we think of our church family. But there's also a responsibility here, if we haven't seen the next slide. See, we are loved and we're looked after, that's true, but we also have a responsibility to be looking after one another. We are loved and so looking after. Look down again at the passage. It will come up on the screen in the next slide. I'll read it again. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. See, John is loved by Jesus. He's literally referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John is given a duty to look after and love Mary as if she were his own mother. And so John takes her into his home. This care that John has for Mary is a little picture of our responsibility to care for one another. We are loved by Jesus, and so we have a duty to look after one another. When Jesus confronted those concerned disciples in Matthew 19, there's a subtle implication to his words. Matthew 19 will come up on the screen again. Let me read just the second part of it again. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. So you'll gain brothers and sisters, but you'll also become a brother or a sister. You'll gain spiritual parents, but you'll also become spiritual parents or spiritual examples to others. The nature of family life involves giving as well as taking. And so as you look around the room at St. Richard's, as you look at those tiny squares on your computer screen, you are not simply seeing your family who will care for you, but you are seeing your family who you in turn have to care for. There was a lovely example of loving one another in action a couple of years ago, of family love in action. If the next slide, I wonder if you remember this picture and the story of the Brownlee brothers. Both Alistair Brownlee and his younger brother, Johnny, were GB triathletes competing in the Triathlon World Series in Mexico in 2016. Johnny was leading the final race with only 700 meters to go. But in the hot Mexican sun, he began to struggle. Alistair, a former medical student, was close behind in third when he noticed his brother wobbling and staggering all over the road. Alistair could have overtaken Johnny, but realizing that his brother needed help, he instead caught up with him, supported his brother, and pushed him over the line ahead of himself. Alistair's concern for his brother, his family love displayed in that act of compassion, earned him a Sports Personality of the Year nomination. It's an important question to ask as a member of a church, as an individual member of a family. How can I care for my brothers and sisters at St. Richard's? As someone loved by Jesus so much that he went to the cross and died for me, how can I love these other people who have been loved by God? Is someone going through a crisis and needs food and meals dropped round? Is someone lonely and would value meeting up for a coffee once a week? Are people struggling with practical jobs around the home? I'm the least practical man in the world, so I'm grateful when people come round and use their practical skills to help me. Do you have people from church, and I guess this is during normal times, but do you have people from church in your home for meals when you're able to? Is the family dinner table ever the church family dinner table? Is there anyone in the church who you meet up with to pray with? Praying with other people, meeting them one-to-one is an amazing way of pushing one another over the line. I'll leave you with a story of this. When Sarah and I were a year or so into our marriage, we experienced a church family acting like family for us in a really tangible way. We'd be sleeping on this mattress we managed to get hold of for a year or so. And it was crippling Sarah's neck and back. She was in constant pain, but we had no money to replace it. We were living in central London on a youth minister's wage, and Sarah was still studying at Bible College. And we just happened in passing one day to mention Sarah's back pain to a friend of ours at this small church plant on a council estate we were working at. And without our knowing, he went round the core members of this church, just 15 or so people. And a week or so later, completely unexpected, they presented us with enough money to buy a mattress. It was deeply practical, but we felt very loved and taken care of by our church family. Now, these people, propelled by their love for a king who loved them enough to die for them, reached into their pockets to love their brother and sister. And so I guess we leave this passage on Mother's Day taking comfort in the fact that we have a church family who are there to care for us and love us and look after us, but also hopefully motivated to fulfill our duty and to in turn love them and look after them, even in deeply practical ways. Why don't I lead us in a prayer? Father, thank you so much that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough to die for us. Thank you for the privilege that being a follower of Jesus means we are part of a church family, a family that will love us and a family that we in turn must love. Please help us to take real comfort in that, but also would you spur us on to love and look after one another, both here at St. Richard's and over at All Saints as well. Amen.